At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know through the comments on Spotify or through my email or social media. All links can be found in the description. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please follow, review, and rate. All that really helps out the podcast. And speaking of which, please enjoy the show.
Good evening, friends of Gore. This is your host to welcome you once again into the inner sanctum. Come on in, and never mind looking back over your shoulder. Whatever it is that's behind you can't be half as bad as what's in front. As the man whose throat had just been made the scene of an experiment with a razor while he slept said, I'm going from bed to hers. All right. Settle down now. It's coming. And there's nothing you can do about it. Just keep a good hold on yourself. And your wife, if your life insurance paid off. Joe Harris. 21, wearing a cheap blue serge suit and a thin top coat. Cold and wet on a cold and rainy night. Just a change.
Kansas City's okay, but there's nothing there for me. I gotta get out. My wardrobe ain't built for a hard winter, so I figure it could be more comfortable on the coast, California. But I ain't paying for rail transportation this year, so I head for the KC freight yards. And I pick me out a nice long freight job that happens to have an empty car. And pull the sliding door over. Leaving just a crack for air and finger hole for when we reach the land of oranges. The old boiler up front's got the steam up. And we're off. I relax. All I gotta do is let a couple of days slide by and... Sunshine. Hey. What? I didn't notice nobody else was in the car.
Didn't you now, Pally?
No.
That's...
He leaned back into the darkness of his corner so I couldn't see him very good. He was a young guy, maybe my age, maybe a couple of years older. My size, too. Same color hair and eyes. Almost close enough to be brothers, but there was something in his eyes that had never been in mine. I was scared.
You know, something funny. You look like me.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that myself in a...
Why?
Well, lots of guys look a little like each other.
No.
I mean... Huh?
Nobody looks like me.
Well, okay, so I don't.
You're trying to. That means you must be one of...
One of what?
They have ways of changing their appearance. You're one of them, you can...
Look, you're talking about...
It's no use. You can't fool me. I'll have to punish you.
Hey, watch out with that knife.
I'm going to cut the resemblance away and find out what you really look like.
You're crazy. Stop it.
Let go of my hand. I've got to cut you away.
No. I've got your arm twisted. And the knife is pointing at your heart. Now drop it.
No, nobody's as strong as me. I'll...
Stop it. I warn you. Stop it.
No.
Then I got to do this.
No.
I told you. I told you. I told you. Dead. Hey. No, he's dead. I've got to get out. The door. Slide it open. The odd bones.
Ah, one of these sliding doors. Why don't they slab him proper? Give me a hand, Charlie.
Okay.
You locked it. Now I can't get out. I can't get out.
So there I was, locked in with him. In the dark. He was dead, so I wasn't afraid of him. At first. I even gave him a going over. His eyes were open, but I flopped him over into his pockets. Just a couple of bucks and some small change and his draft card. Funny, he was 4F, just like me. His name was Martin Pell. That's a laugh, too, finding out who a guy is after you kill him. Kill him? Yeah. I was a murderer. I just realized it. They'll hang me for that. No, it was self-defense, but what chance have I got of proving that? Me with a record, too. But maybe I can lose that record. Maybe. Yeah. So I switched draft cards with him. And now he's Joe Harris, and I'm Martin Pell. Martin Pell of, that says on his card, of Wisey, Oklahoma. And the hours go by, and I'm there with him locked in a boxcar, and the wheels keep pounding underneath, and he's dead. I gotta get out. There's gotta be a way. The door. Shut. I gotta think. Think. Hey, wait. We're stopping. Now what? We're stopping. Yeah, he's covered up. Maybe they won't spot him. Anyways, I gotta get out. I'll yell and I'll pound on the door. Yeah, that's the way.
Get out of here.
Yeah, sure.
Don't you know it's against the law riding a freight?
Yeah, I know.
Well, maybe this will help you remember.
No.
Now get out of here. Get fast.
Fast as I could, I got away from there. The yard bull took a quick look into the car, but he didn't spot the body under the sack, and the train started up. And it began moving away. With Martin Pell lying under a pile of dirty sacking. With a knife in his heart and a funny look in his eyes. Only, I'm Martin Pell. It was only a watering stop where the train stopped, so I walked across the prairie, not knowing where I was going and not caring much. Well, I keep walking across the dark face of the land until I spot a light, a couple of lights. A small town, it looked like. A small town, somewheres. Where?
Right on the edge of town, there's a lunch wagon, and it's open. And there's a light shining on it, and I'm hungry. So I go into the lunch wagon. Hi. How about something to eat, huh?
Sure thing, Martin. Sure thing.
What? What did you say?
I said, sure, you can have something to eat, Martin. What'll it be?
Martin? What town is this?
Why, you ought to know, Martin. This is Wisey. Wisey, Oklahoma.
Wisey? But that's the same place it can't be.
Oh, that's no way to talk about your own hometown. Of course, you've been away quite a few years. You look good now.
Wouldn't you say I've changed?
Oh, no more than's natural. Of course, you're only around 16 when you left. Kind of an advanced 16, though.
Yeah?
Ain't many kids that age would have stuck up the bank, knocked off the night watchman.
I killed him?
Oh, don't get modest, fella. Sure. Old man Henshaw. Hey, I was near forgetting. You said you're hungry.
Not anymore.
Oh, come on, have something to eat. Don't you believe in putting anything in your stomach before doing a job?
Doing a job? Me?
Why do you think us? Why should I promise you a grand?
I don't remember.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Martin. How many men have you killed that you don't remember a job like this?
Never mind the act. Play it straight, huh?
Okay. Don't get nasty. It's too late to talk business anyway. Come on, I got a room fixed up for you and back. Get a good night's sleep. We'll talk in the morning. About an old man that's lived way past his time, And about how you, gonna take care of that. Martin, I sent for you because I need money.
I ain't got any.
My uncle has. Old man Carew.
I'll get it from him.
When he dies, I will.
So?
So I want him to die.
Oh.
I got a grand in cash. That's yours.
For what?
For my uncle dying a little earlier than expecting.
No dice.
No dice? Martin, you take care of old man Carew, or so help me, I'll turn you in on that bank job.
Go ahead. Turn me in. I can prove that I... And then I shut up quick. Blitz was watching me with those little pig eyes in his fat face. Sure, I could prove I wasn't Martin Pell, that I'd never been in Wisey, Oklahoma, but... Sure. But to do that, I'd have to admit I was Joe Harris. And when they found that corpse in the boxcar with my draft card on him, that'd be fine. A lot of attention the jury had paid to my plea of self-defense. No witnesses and me on the lam and me switching draft cards in panic. Sure, even the hangman had burst out laughing when he slipped the noose around my neck. I shut up quick, Bliss watching me close. And then I said, okay, Bliss, it's a deal. What's the layout? Layout.
I'll pull in here. Trees will cover the car in case anybody happens to be out late on the highway. Can't be too careful. Ain't that so, Martin?
That's so.
It's only a short walk. Let's get going. Yeah. You better take this.
What? Oh, a tire iron.
I picked it up in a junkyard. They'll never trace it to me.
It's for
old man Carew. They bother you?
I ain't used to them.
Anymore, huh? The house. Old man Carew never believed in buying curtains for the windows. There he is. Rocking in his chair. Now watch the porch step. It's busted. I guess we knock. It's polite.
Yeah. What's it now?
Uncle Carew. It's me.
What you want?
Just to come in. I brought a visitor. An old friend of yours.
Sit where you like. Sit in my rocker. Yeah, nobody sits in it but me. Who's the man with you?
Don't you recognize him?
Huh. Looks like Pell boy.
That's who it is. Martin Pell.
Yeah, never was any good. Like you, Bliss. All right, you visited. Gone home now.
Kind of cold out. Give us a chance to warm up, huh?
Yeah, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do.
He's dozing off a bit. Go on, Martin.
What?
He ain't looking this way. Now's the time.
I ain't gonna. He's an old man.
Fine. What do you give it to me?
All right, here.
Yeah. Uncle. Uncle. Yeah. That'll be that, huh? Pockets. Yeah. Uncle was carrying quite a bit of dough on him. Martin. Here.
Huh?
Here, take the money. It's very important. I'll put it in your pocket myself. That's very important. When they find you here, knocked out, tripping over that busted porch step, they'll know why you killed old man Carew.
What are you talking about?
Sure, and knowing you're a wrecking Martin, they'll never look for anybody else. Now, when they find you on the premises with the old man's dough hitting your fingerprints on the tire iron...
No!
After I...
I was walking up a long flight of stairs with nothing at the top but more stairs, and my head was hurting. And then I woke up lying outside of old man Carew's house with a blood-stained tire iron in my hand. I pulled myself to my feet, and then I heard cars. They were coming, and there I still was. I had to get away fast. I didn't know the country, but I was hunted, and a hunted animal's got an instinct to hide, to run, and to hide from the killers. They didn't find me that day, because I fooled them. I didn't try getting out of the county, town. Oh, no. That's where they were watching for me. So I stayed put close to town, which fooled them. And also, I had a job to do.
Who is it?
Martin. Me.
What are you doing here?
I got paid for a killing I didn't do. So I figured maybe I better do a killing now for no pay at all.
Stay where you are.
No, we're alone here. I got this knife.
No.
Bliss, you got a pencil?
Pencil? Yeah, sure.
Then sit down and write a little note about how you killed old man Carew.
No.
I got the knife against your heart. Sit down and write.
All right.
Just write.
I killed
my uncle because I wanted his money. You got it?
Good. I got it.
Now sign your name pretty.
I signed it. Take that knife away.
Sure. After I... Yeah. Goodbye, Mr. Bliss. Oh, I'd better put the knife in your hand like this. Too bad your nerves went back on you. You committed suicide, Mr. Bliss. That's what you did. And now they'll stop looking for me. I holed in and waited until they found Bliss. So the law was called off. There was nobody to look for. So I headed for the water and stop and the freights, because it was cold. And I was heading for sunshine. There was a train getting ready to head for the coast, so I sneaked close to it. On the far side, there was a couple of bulls around chewing the rag, but they didn't...
I spotted an open box car and I climbed in. I got away. The bulls were coming along checking. One of them sounded like the guy that had thrown me off the night before. This time I didn't care. I was hoping he'd lock the door on me. So I curled up in a corner and waited.
Yeah, Mike, that was quite a wreck they had up ahead. Quite a wreck. Held up the line for 24 hours. This freight here had already pulled out when word came in of the wreck up ahead, so they backed her right back here and let her stand. All right, she's on her way now. One of them sliding doors is open. Give me a hand with it.
Hey, wait. If this is the same train... It can't be. This car. It's train. This second would be over there. Let me see. The second. Yeah, it's the second. And under it. I gotta see. Yeah. It's him. Martin Pell. And I'm locked in with him. Me and Martin. The killer. We're going to the sunshine together. And that's how the cops will find us. Together. Him dead. And me. And me.
Well, well. Alas for poor Joe, who couldn't keep out of boxcars. He was a nice boy, but he couldn't stay put. I guess they'll give him the order of the Rolling Stone. Tombstone. And to leave you with a... hear a freight train whistling in the night. Think of Joe and wonder, is he still in it with Martin rattling?
Well, friends, it's time once again to close that creaking door. Until next week at the same time, when we'll be back with a little hunk of horror. You'll be sure to listen, won't you? Until next week, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Inner Sanctum has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Good evening, friends of the inner sanctum. Now, come in, won't you? This is your host, Raymond, again, disturbing the peace. Say, have you ever had the screaming meanies? Did you ever get an attack of the yelling and wailing jitters? You walk in your sleep? Do you ever wake in the middle of the night shrieking at the top of your lungs? Oh, you do? Well, you must be a hard person to live with. Well, friends, it's time for our story to begin. From this point on, forget everything pleasant. Stick a finger ready to chew on, turn the lights down low, and listen to Peter Lorre tell you the blood-curdling tale, Death is a Joker. Come with me to the criminal court building. A tense hush falls upon the spectators as Charles Luther takes the stand.
Gentlemen of the jury, I'm accused of murder. I'm an actor, a comedian. Look at my face. Ugly, huh? Yes, so ugly that whoever looks at it laughs. I'm not telling you in sympathy for myself. I tell you this because it is important to your understanding. The strange events that brought me to this courtroom today to plead for my life. Shortly before midnight of November 28th, I went to the apartment of my friend Robert Langwell, the famous actor and nightmare artist.
Charles, well, this is a surprise. Come in.
Thank you.
Would you like a drink?
No, don't bother. I don't want anything.
No? Well, here, may I take your thing? Oh, excuse me. Oh, George. Yes, I have the money for you. You'll be up? 20 minutes? Yes. Goodbye. George Galvin. You know him, Charles?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
Rotten actor. But an excellent poker player.
So I've heard. Robert. Robert, before leaving the theater tonight, someone told me that you and Julie Winthrop are going to be married. True?
Yes, we'll be married. Gets a decree in Reno.
You must not marry Julie.
Not marry Julie? Well, who can do?
I know Julie well, and I also know you. That's why you must not marry her.
Charles, it might be better for you to mind your own business. Julie and I are in love with each other.
No, you're not. She's fascinated by your good looks. She's impressed by your fame, but she does not love you.
Now, look here. We may be old friends, but I've stood all I'm going to. Wait a moment. I get it now. You're in love with her yourself.
I'm in love with Julie. No, we are just friends.
Friends? You're madly in love with her. That's why you came here tonight, isn't it?
No.
Friends.
Stop your laughing.
You in love with a girl like Julie.
Why should my love make you laugh?
Admit it, huh?
All right, I do. Why is it so funny?
Do you think she'd have you? You, a clown, ugly, clumsy? You in love with Julie?
And why not? Why not?
You!
Stop your laughing. Stop it.
Can I? Look at yourself. Charles, let go of me.
No.
You're choking. Let go.
A joke, huh?
Charles.
A joke. Laugh. Go ahead. Laugh now. Laugh. Robert. Robert. I didn't mean it. Robert. Good Lord, what have I done? Rushed out of his apartment, trembling. I turned my coat collar up to hide my face. The streets were crowded with people coming from the late movies and restaurants. I tried to make myself act naturally, but it was impossible. Everyone I saw, every pair of eyes that looked at me, seemed to accuse me of my crime.
Papers.
Waited for the light to change.
Paper, mister. Morning paper. Read about the Reynolds execution.
Here, let me have one.
There you are.
I didn't know Reynolds was to be executed tonight.
Yeah, they burned him. Well, he deserved it, murdering his friend like he did. Oh, wait a minute, miss. Wait a minute, mister. You forgot your change. Oh,
never mind, never mind. I went to my apartment and the newspaper I had bought. There was a photograph of Reynolds on the first page. In his face, I saw my future. The shattered hopes. The torture of the trial. The horrible, nerve-wracking experience of waiting for death. I flung the paper away. I went to the window. I opened it. I looked down 17 stories to the ground. How tiny people looked. The automobile lights moved like so many fireflies. I climbed out on the edge. I braced my arms. I took a deep breath. One last look. I closed my eyes and... doorbell rang something. I hesitated a moment. I decided to answer it. I closed the window, went to the door.
Hello, Charles.
Julie.
Why did you rush away from the theater tonight? I was anxious to talk to you.
Talk to me about what?
I need your advice, Charles.
What's wrong?
Well, it's Robert.
What happened?
Well, nothing happened. It's just that I'm not sure I love him. I'm
not sure?
Yes, when I'm with him, everything seems all right. Handsome and charming, but when I'm alone, I begin to wonder and to doubt.
Why?
Can't you guess why?
Guess? You love someone else?
Yes.
Well, who is it?
You.
Me?
Yes, that's what I came here to tell you. That's why I don't want to marry him.
Me?
Yes, I would have told you before, but I was so afraid of making a fool of myself. Mm. You didn't seem to care.
I didn't care. Julie, this is crazy. I loved you from the moment I saw you.
You loved me?
Yes.
But, darling, why didn't you tell me?
Tell you? How could I? You're so young. So beautiful. And I, look at me. Ugly, clumsy. How could I speak to you?
Fools without words. How you look means nothing to me.
Nothing?
Of course not, darling. How lucky we are we found out in time.
In time? In time? Oh, merciful heavens. What a joke. What a joke.
Charles, what's wrong? Oh,
what
there's
a joke.
Tears streaming down your face. Charles, you're hysterical. Now stop it.
What a joke.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Julie, something you must know.
Yes, darling.
I committed a murder.
Murder? What are you talking about?
I killed Robert.
Killed Robert? Oh, out of your mind. You don't know what you're saying.
It is true. I went to his apartment and we quarreled and I killed him.
Oh, no.
You told me a moment ago that you loved me. Do you still love me?
Yes, Charles.
And tell me what to do, Julie. Help me. I can't think. I don't know where to turn, but... what can I do, Julie? What can I do?
Now pull yourself together, Charles. This may not be as hopeless as you think.
Why?
Was Robert alone in the apartment when you called?
Yes.
Were you seen entering or leaving?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, his apartment is on the second floor. I walked up and down.
What time did you get there?
Shortly before midnight.
And what did you do before that?
Went to a movie.
Movie? How long did you stay there?
Oh, only about 20 minutes.
Do you have the ticket stub?
Huh? Yes, here it is.
Charles, do you realize what this means?
They
may never find out about you.
Never find out.
That's right. They won't suspect you since they can't know your motive. No one saw you enter or leave, and you have an excellent alibi.
Motive? Alibi, Julie? Do you realize what we are doing? We are talking of this as if we planned this crime, as though we were criminals. But I committed a crime, yes, but I'm no criminal. I didn't mean to do it.
I know, darling, I know. But you must think of your own life now. And mine.
Yes, Julia. Oh, I see what you mean. I'm not a criminal, but I must play the role of a criminal now. A subtler, clever criminal who is cunning enough to escape punishment. Can I do it? Can I do it, Julia?
Charles, listen to me. We must find out how much the police know. If it's hopeless and they have found out about you, then it would be best to give yourself up. But let's not make any decisions until we know.
But how can we know?
Did Robert expect anyone tonight?
Yes, George Galvin phoned when I was there. He said he'd be up in about...
Then the body must have been discovered by now.
Yes, I'm sure the police must be there by this time.
I think that I'll go to Robert's apartment.
No, Julie, no. I didn't want you to become involved.
I'm already involved. But for me, this horrible thing would never have happened. The least I can do is to help you now.
But Julie...
Promise me you'll not leave this apartment, Charles.
All right.
I won't be long.
Julie.
Yes.
If something happens, if something goes wrong and is separated before you return, I want you to know that I don't know what to say to
you. You don't have to say it, darling. I know what you mean. Goodbye.
A criminal. I have to think like one, to act like one, have to be one. What question would they ask?
Where were you at 12 o'clock midnight of November 28th?
I was in a movie. And here's the stub. Stub. Oh, no. They can see immediately that I'm lying. My voice shouldn't be so quick with the answer.
Where were you at 12 midnight of November 28th?
Where was I? Let me see. Well, I left the theater and I went to a movie. It was a very amusing picture. Very amusing.
Can you prove what you say?
Prove? Well, I don't know. It would be difficult. I may have to pick it stuff somewhere. Yes, here. Let me show it to you. Here it is.
Did you have a quarrel with Robert Langwell?
Quarrel with... We were friends. We played in many shows together. We were on the best of terms.
That's all, Mr. Luther. You may leave now.
Yes. I can pay it. It is possible. I can escape punishment. Police. Can it be the police? Or maybe it is Julie.
Good evening, Charles.
George Gill.
I know it's rather late for an unexpected visit.
Yes, it is.
But this is important, Charles. A matter of life and death, you might say.
What do you mean?
Have you a cigarette?
Huh? Yes, here.
Thanks. What's the matter, Charles? Your hand's trembling.
It's nothing.
You don't seem to be your usual self this evening. No quips, no jokes. What's wrong?
I don't always feel like joking.
Yes, Charles, it's strange about human nature, isn't it? Who would have ever dreamed that tonight, a few minutes before midnight, you entered Robert Langwell's apartment, quarreled with him over Julie, and choked him to death?
What are you talking about?
You're an excellent actor, Charles. But your whiskey, save them for the footlights. Or the police?
Police? Will you please tell me what all this is about?
Still acting, huh? Now look, Charles. You killed Robert shortly before midnight tonight.
You are mistaken. I was in a movie at that time.
Oh, so that's your alibi. Very clever. No, Charles, either we discuss terms now or I go to the police.
Wait. How did you find out?
That is my secret.
What do you want?
Money. All you have on hand. All you can dig up.
All right. Come with me. I have some money in the bedroom.
All right. Just a moment.
What is this?
Yes.
Why?
I'm taking no chances. Let's go.
All right.
Where's the money? Child, stand back or I'll fire. Stand back.
No.
Let go of my hand.
No.
I'll twist it. I'll twist it till that gun points to your head.
Charles, let go. You don't know what you're doing.
Go on. Fire now. The bullet will enter your brain. Fire.
Charles.
Fire.
Charles, don't.
I'll make you fire. I'll squeeze your fingers.
Charles, let go.
Go on.
This is all a joke.
I'll make you.
Stop it, Charles.
Just a second. Just a second.
Charles. Darling. Darling, there's nothing more to worry about. Everything's all right now. We can be married and go on living and never fear anything.
What makes you say that?
Darling, you didn't commit a crime at all. Alive.
Alive?
Yes, he's downstairs now paying the taxi.
Robert? He's alive?
Yes. I spoke to him about the marriage, and he was wonderful about the whole thing. Darling, aren't you happy? Our worries are all over. You can smile and be gay. That must be Robert now.
Hello. Hello, Charles.
Robert. I thought you...
I'm not.
But how did you...
You see, I fainted. George Galvin came in and brought me to.
George Galvin. Did you tell George Galvin what happened?
Yes, I did. Look here, Charles. As I told Julie, I'm willing to forget the whole thing if you are.
Forget?
Yes. It might have ended tragically, you know, but thinking it over, I realize I'm as much to blame as you are. So if you're willing to shake hands.
Shake hands?
Dear, now, darling. There's nothing more to worry about. I feel so happy I could... Charles, what's the matter with you?
It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing.
Gentlemen of the jury, I became a criminal well, because I thought I had committed a crime and I had to think like a criminal. My motives were those of all men. I wanted happiness and wanted marriage to the woman I loved. What would you have done in my place?
I wish I could place him. Well, it must be wonderful to have a sense of humor, but I don't think Charlie feels much like laughing. Do you? We'll pay to the inner sanctum and its fun-loving host Raymond soon, but don't go, please. Not until we drop in at the green room, where the players are rehearsing our next performance in a mystery playhouse. Come with me, please. Come.
Change the dressings at midnight and again in the morning, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
Well, doctor, what did you find? Will I be blind? Is it very bad?
Now, take it easy, Mr. Denton. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing at all.
You're sure? You aren't just saying that.
I'm quite sure.
Valerie, did you hear that? I'm not going to be blind. Valerie, where are you?
Right here, darling.
Did you hear? I won't be blind. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, darling, it's marvelous.
You don't sound very excited. Valerie, don't you realize I'm going to see again?
She doesn't sound excited because I don't want you to be excited, Mr. Denton. You've got to relax. Try to sleep.
Sleep with this ungodly pain. My eyes are on fire.
That will stop as soon as the opiate I gave you takes hold. You'll be comfortable, I'm sure. Now, good night.
You're going now, Doctor?
Yes, I'll look in on your husband in the morning.
Stephen?
Yes, Valerie?
Do you mind if I step out into the corridor for a moment?
But you promised not to leave me. I'm afraid, Valerie. Everything's so dark,
The nurse will be here, dear, if you want anything. I just want to ask Dr. Wade some questions.
Questions? But he's already told us.
Yes, Stephen, I know. But I'd like to find out about the treatment and how I'm to take care of you when we get you home, you know. Just little things.
All right. But hurry back. I want you near me.
I will, dear.
Good night, Mr. Denton.
Good night, Doctor. And thank you.
You're quite welcome. After you, Mrs. Denton.
Thank you.
I suggest we step into the consultation room across the hall. We'll have more privacy.
All right.
Here we are.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a long time, Valerie.
Yes, Paul, it has.
Almost 10 years, isn't it?
About that.
Strange that you should have called me, of all people, to treat your husband's eyes.
Oh, I was panicky, Paul. I didn't know what to do. It all happened so suddenly. Stephen was working in his laboratory at the house when suddenly I heard a violent explosion. I ran in and found him clutching his eyes and screaming, "I'm blind!" First thing I thought of was an ambulance. Then you...
Why didn't you think of me 10 years ago?
That's not fair, Paul.
Was it fair to turn your back on me and then to marry me and then to marry a man almost twice your age?
Paul, please, why bring up ancient history?
It isn't ancient history to me. I've never forgotten you.
About Stephen's eyes.
What about them?
I have a feeling that you weren't telling him the truth.
You're right.
Oh, you mean... He's not going to regain his sight. He's going to be blind. Oh, Paul.
You don't expect me to be turned, do you, Valerie? After all, he did take you away from me.
Don't be vindictive, Paul. It wasn't Stephen's fault. He didn't even know of your existence.
And you never told him that we were on the point of being married.
No, never.
It's rather ironic that we should meet again at the bedside of my rival. Your husband. A man who may forever walk in darkness.
Don't say that, Paul. It's horrible.
But unfortunately true. A moment ago, you told me not to be vindictive. I'm not, really. But if I were, I could have my fill of vengeance if I told him about us. And then told him that he'll be blind forever. Or I might take another form of revenge. I could tell you that an operation is called for. A very delicate operation.
Are you trying to say that there might be a chance?
Yes. But supposing I refuse to perform the operation?
Paul, you're joking. You can't mean that.
Perhaps not. But you call me vindictive. Suppose I operate and my scalpel slips. What if he dies?
That would be murder. You're not a murderer, Paul. You wouldn't risk your professional reputation. Why must you torment me this way?
You really love him, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Then forget the things that I've been saying. I want you to think of me, then. I want you to trust me.
I do trust you, Paul.
Thank you. Now as to the possibility of surgery. Here is the situation. The transparent film over your husband's eyes, the corneas, were burned and torn with the explosion. They've been so damaged that blindness will result, even though the eyes heal.
But you think an operation would cure that?
Possibly, although it's a very delicate job. The injured cornea must be peeled away and replaced by a fresh, healthy one.
Where can you get healthy corneas?
From from the eyes of the dead. It isn't quite as horrible as it sounds, Valerie. You know, dying people often will their eyes for just this purpose. We maintain what we call a corneal bank. It's much the same as a blood bank, only but there's this difference. Corneal tissue can't be stored more than 48 hours. It must be fresh, or it's no good.
You have some available in the bank?
No, that's the trouble. I'm afraid we haven't.
But there's got to be some, Paul.
I don't know where, Valerie. Unless...
Unless what?
I was just thinking. Last night, one of the interns asked me to look at a charity case that puzzled him. The patient is a Hindu or a Persian named Chandra. He lives in a dirty little shack near the waterfront.
Yes, Paul?
I stopped by and examined him. I found an incurable condition. There's no way to save him. He won't live more than a day or two. But his eyes are healthy.
You mean you think he might...
I don't know. You'd have to have his consent, of course.
Take me to him, Paul. I'm sure I can make him understand.
Oh, it may not be so easy, Valerie. He's a strange person. A mystic and a spiritualist.
Let me try. Just take me to him.
All right. We can go there now.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.